So some of you may be wondering, what is that thing on John's foot? For those of you who don't know, I broke a toe last weekend. It was while I was sleeping. You can't make this stuff up. I had a bad dream, and I went to kick whoever it was in my dream. I don't know who it was. And my toe connected with a cast iron radiator. And so I got to wear this thing on my foot. Sort of like a speed bump in life. I don't like speed bumps. And I don't know many people who do. I mean, they're annoying. They get in our way. They make us slow down even when we don't want to. And if we don't slow down, we get a bit of a jolt in the car when we go over them, don't we? Anyone who's riding in a passenger in our car knows that we've hit a speed bump. They get our attention. And if we don't watch out for them, they may get the attention of an auto mechanic for our car. Do you know that speed bumps have been around for over 120 years? On June 7th, 1906, the New York Times reported that there were speed bumps in use in the small town of Chatham, New Jersey. I'm guessing the Model T's were going entirely too fast through downtown. You know, I like to think of the ministry of John the Baptizer as a speed bump in the life of Israel. I mean, some had never heard his message. Some knew he was right. Others thought his message was offensive, and still others thought it was simply annoying. Let's get over with it. Let's get on with life. But they all had to slow down and hear what he had to say. So this morning we continue in our Advent series entitled Expectant. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we looked at an unexpected announcement in the life of a young teenage woman named Mary. Last week, we looked at the initial ministry of John the Baptizer and his preaching. And this week, we want to take a look at the response of different people to John's message. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 7. Listen to God's word. John said to the crowds coming to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you were required to," he told them. Then some of the soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added to this to them all. He locked John up in prison. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that together they might be acceptable in your sight, for you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And to that end, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, our ears, that we would hear your word afresh, and that you would help us to respond in a way that gives honor and glory to you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's not always easy to hear the truth. Remember 2 weeks ago I said that when the angels showed up, that they had a tough job, they always had to say, don't be afraid, because everybody was always afraid of them. Consider being a prophet. Darrell Bach, in his commentary on Luke, says, it has to be a real challenge to be a prophet because God calls prophets to declare his word to sinful humanity. Often prophets use direct language, explicit and even shocking images. They offend. It's true of John, isn't it? He offended. People are coming out to be baptized by him. And we're not talking a few people, we're talking crowds. John's words, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Doesn't sound like kind of a friendly greeting, does it? You know what a brood of vipers is? It's a group or a family of snakes, evil and destructive, poisonous. That's what John says. And John's not name-calling. The way this phrase is structured, John is saying that the evil and destructive nature is in their very DNA. It's part of who they are. It's part of their sinfulness. And judgment was coming because of their behavior. So John's batting 4 for 4. He's direct. He's explicit. It's shocking. And it's offensive. Well done, John. But explicit, rather implicit in his words, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, is the call to turn, to change direction, to change attitude, to change behavior. And did you notice that John takes away any thought of a privileged status? He says, don't say to me that, you know, our father is Abraham. He says, no, that doesn't count. Everybody is responsible for their own actions, their own lifestyle. Pedigree doesn't matter. Ancestry doesn't matter. There will be judgment. Now, if John was preaching today, I think a group from the personnel committee would say, you know, you need to go talk to the human resources department because you're coming across a little bit crass. This doesn't work for us. We want a kinder, gentler church. Don't talk like that. You know, he does seem rough around the edges, doesn't he? But he's doing the work he was called to do. He speaks words of truth. People heard him then, and we need to hear his words today. Repent and do what is right. It's not always easy to hear the truth. And it's not always easy to act on the truth. But we have a glimpse of how people responded to John. In verse 10, we see the crowds come to him and they said, John, what should we do? And John's words, well, anyone who has two shirts, and what it means here is a tunic, which is like a long undershirt. He says, anybody that has two tunics should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Well, that makes sense. That's a nice thing to do, right? If we've experienced the blessing of having clothes and food, share those with others, okay? But here comes the kind of question that begins to meddle a little bit. So I'm putting you on notice, I'm meddling, but let me tell you about myself in that. How much is enough? Over the past 3.5 years or so, Ruthie and I moved from Texas to New England. Ruthie came first, moved in temporarily with our daughter and son-in-law, and then moved to an apartment, and then we purchased a home. I moved to Connecticut, lived in a church-owned home, finished my job there, moved to a storage unit and an apartment with two large dogs. I was called to go back to the same church in Connecticut, went to the same church-owned home. Then they decided to sell it, and I moved to another church-owned home. And then I finally finished things there, and I moved here. Now, why would I say all these things? Well, in the process of moving, I came across the fact that I owned a lot of shirts. Over 6 dozen dress shirts. Plus golf shirts. Plus drawers full of t-shirts. And I'm not proud to tell you that. I had more than enough. John's words, share with those who have none. Share your blessings. The second group of people that come to John are the tax collectors. No one would even think that tax collectors would come to be baptized, but they came. Tax collection in that day was filled with middlemen who would come and say, yeah, I'll collect taxes. So they'd go out and tell somebody, here's what you need to pay me, adding their own surcharge on, and they would pocket the difference. Nobody liked tax collectors. They were despised. The problem was if a tax collector happened to be Jewish, then they were taking advantage of their own people. John's words to them, don't collect more than you are required to. Simple words, probably tough to put into action. And then there were the soldiers, the agents of Rome. They came forward and said, what should we do? Jesus' reply was, don't extort money, don't accuse people falsely, be content with your pay. Why did John say this? Because soldiers were known for falsely accusing people and then extorting money from them and doing it with violence if they needed to. And so John's words were clear. Did you see the fourth response? The fourth response was from Herod. Herod wasn't fond at all of what John had said. You see, Herod had divorced his wife. He married his brother's wife, Philip's wife. And then he did, as the scripture says, many other evil things, whatever those are. Instead of responding with a change of lifestyle or even asking, what should I do? Herod used his power and authority to lock John up in jail and shut down his ministry. Later, Herod beheaded John. Well, why do I share these different responses? It's because there's several interesting things here. John is calling people to repent, to turn around. We don't know among the crowd or the tax collectors or the soldiers who actually repented. But we do know this. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of behavior. The people needed to respond with a change of heart or a change of behavior. They weren't called simply to go through the motions, nor are we. So there was one time when I had finished working at a church and I moved on to a new place, and I started grumbling to my wife because I didn't like what the pastor who followed me was doing. And it really started to bother me. It angered me. You know that feeling you get in your gut and you just don't like the person? You don't like what they're doing? Anytime you hear their name, you just kind of cringe. So in the process of all this, one morning I said to Ruthie, I said, you know, I think I need to work on this because this has become a problem. And she just kind of looked at me and said, oh, really? And she goes, why are you telling me this? Are you confessing or repenting? Think about that for a minute. Needless to say, I wasn't happy with what I heard. Because it's easy to say, you know, I really need to be working on this, and it's another thing to do the work, right? And I needed to do that work in my life. The call for us is to make the changes that need to be made. How we treat others, how we do our work, how we live our lives all speak volumes about who we understand God to be and how we live our lives out. So what if John were preaching us today, to us today? What if we asked John, what about us? What should we do? What would he say to us as individuals, as parents, as children, as workers, as spouses, as supervisors, as members of the community? What would he say to us as a congregation? My hope is that we would be willing to repent and do what is right. You see, John fulfilled his role. He was a servant. He spoke of the fact that there would be judgment. He called people to repent, and he pointed people to Jesus. But being told what we don't want to hear is much like hitting a speed bump, isn't it? Speed bumps annoy us. They get in our way. They complicate things. They slow us down. I don't know anybody who likes to be called a sinner. It's offensive. It's upsetting. Nobody likes to have to change the way they live. Truth hurts. Sometimes it hurts when we're dealing with our pride. But if we can see beyond the hurt, there is great joy to live life as God calls us to live it. John called people to slow down and consider how they were living life. Are we willing to slow down and to take a look? Are we willing to allow God to speak through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, or through someone else in our lives? Are we willing to do the work that we need to do in our lives and know the joy, the true joy that only Jesus can give? My prayer for us is that we might repent and do what is right. May it be so for us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, John's words are not easy. We confess that. And yet, Lord, we ask that you would be at work in us. That you would help us to change where we need to change, whether it be behavior or attitude or lifestyle, whatever it is to which you call us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.